हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। टुडे इज़ 4th जून, वेनसडे 2014, द हॉटेस्ट आफ्टरनून ऑफ द समर। वी आर इन पीवी दोषी हॉस्पिटल। सो व्हाट वाज योर क्वेश्चन अगेन? व्हाई देर इज सो मच ईगो? Ego is of two types. One ego is called false ego. One is called as true ego. Let's talk about true ego first. True ego is that ego which remains constant about you. And true ego is that I am part and parcel of God. I am God's child. That is true ego. That is true identity and called as true ego. That is not called bad. It is not disease. And false ego is identification with your body and your surroundings in forgetfulness of God. I forget first that I am part of God. I forget God also. Then I only think that I am this body, I am this Indian, or I am this caste or this nation, or this language, or I am this education, I am a doctor, like that. All this is called false ego. And the moment you become attached to false ego, all the problems start. As far as I think I am doctor, so I think I am superior to you. Because you are a nurse, I am a doctor. As far as I feel I am higher authority than you, that means I feel you are subordinate. You have to report to me, you have to, I can scold you, I can pull you up, I can take report from you. As soon as I think I'm husband and she's my wife, so I think I'm supposed to enjoy her and she's supposed to serve me. It's like that. And then it is said that even a beggar is proud of his penny. So there's also false ego there. Even as a beggar, he feels ki I'm a great person. No, I'm not an ordinary person. I'm begging the other. The other bridge I beg. I don't bring in lower parallel bridge. And by the way, the whole Dadar area, all bridges are controlled by me. All my people are begging over there. This is ego. This is called false ego. Such an illusion, it is. When municipality comes, we throw everybody out, you know. What beggar? He'll throw all the hawkers, everybody will be thrown out, and the bridge will be empty. Where are you there? Another example of false ego is like the dog. Okay, suppose a dog comes in a new area and the other dogs bark at him. Why they bark at him? They think that this is our area. Why you have come in this area? But after some time, if the dog surrenders, the other dogs accept him in that area. And he becomes one of them. Then he goes and passes urine on every pillar and every car tire and every bucket and every kundi and every thing. What is that actually? This is my area. But is it his area? I will come and just kick him on the face. Or I will run my car over him. Finished. What is the question of his area and your area? When the dog is passing urine, you are laughing. See, he thinks it is his area. But who knows? He knows exactly whose area it is. For sure, it doesn't belong to dog. Dog barks. It doesn't mean he belongs to that area and he is owner of that area. Similarly, when there is ego for your elder brother, younger brother, elder daughter-in-law, younger daughter-in-law, I am the senior daughter-in-law of this house, you have just come and married, I am 5 years old here, I know everything. This is all false, you know. All false ego only, nothing else. Or somebody says, I am elder brother of yours. Just because I am born earlier than you, so I am trying to control you, trying to rule you, trying to misbehave with you, trying to show my power to you. That's why it affects others. False identification of oneself with the things that are temporary. Did you understand? False identification of the things that are temporary, not permanent. If you had a permanent body, you can be attached to the body. But it's a temporary body, and you're so attached. I'm beautiful, I'm tall, and I'm my nose is straight, my eyes are like lotus, and my speech is like, you know, so beautiful and pleasant. When I walk, I am so attractive. When I sing, it is so beautiful. And my hair is so long and like silky, and I am so young and charming. But it is true, for time being it is true, but soon enough it is going to go away. All the beautiful ladies ultimately become wrinkled. All the beautiful men who are strong, or muscular and very attractive and handsome, they all become lethargic afterwards. So problem is that we are attached to something which is false. And strongly identifying with those false things gives us this pride. I said, if you get attached to the Lord, na, you don't become proud actually. The Lord is permanent. If you get attached to the kingdom of God, you don't become proud. If you get attached to the message of God, they don't become proud. Even some people may feel, I may feel I am a great devotee. You are not a great devotee. See, I am so great. I give lectures. See, so many followers are there. So many people are touching my feet. So what is he attached to? What is he attached to? He is attached to becoming great. He is not attached to God. This is a sign that he is not God conscious. When I think I am a great devotee, it means I am not God conscious. I am self-conscious only. In the name of God, I am self-conscious. As soon as you become attached to God, you become humble. This is the first sign. Whether you are a poor man, whether a rich man, whether you are American or Indian or English, or you are from Christian religion or Hindu religion or majority religion or minority religion, as soon as you become attached to God, not to the self, immediately you become humble. And that is the answer to this ego and the problems of ego. As soon as you become attached to God truly, you become humble. Otherwise, if I say, see, he is a junior devotee. He came 5 years after me. Before he came, I had 100 followers already. I'm so senior. Today he also is a guru. I'm also a guru. But I have 500 followers. He has 400 followers. That means he's not God conscious. He's only follower conscious and self conscious only. That's where all problems start. Why these people are fighting? You know, you're Hindu, I'm Muslim, and I'm Christian, and I'm Sikh, and this, and Jews, and this, and that. Because they're not attached to God. They're attached to only themselves. That's why they keep fighting. If I and you come to know that you and me are son and daughter of same father, I really come to know that one day, then I'll not fight with you, I'll start loving you because you're my sister. But I feel you are Maharashtrian, I'm South Indian, you are poor, I'm rich, you are not educated, I'm very educated, you're not beautiful, I'm very beautiful and handsome. All differences start and all fights start. So as soon as I come to know, there is God in between you and me, who is the father of you and me also. There's no, the all reasons fail there to fight. All reasons to quarrel end there immediately. And this has to be practiced even in the smallest of groups. So this group has so many varieties. There are Maharashtrians, there are South Indians, there are Keralites, there are Christians, there are Hindus, there are Gujaratis, there are South Indians. Everybody is there here. So it is an opportunity for all of us to practice what we are talking now. Or you may think, I am a vice principal, or I am a MSc lecturer, and she is just a tutor. What does she think of herself? Or if you think, oh, she's like my younger daughter, you know, she just joined. I'm a little senior here. I can help her out to settle down and to do her work nicely. I'll not harass her. I'll be kind to her. So one day I was also new and somebody was kind to me, so I'll be kind to her. Is there a difference in that? No difference. But because everybody is attached to self only, wherever you go, you only get harassment. Wherever you go as a junior most, you first you get is harassment. Wherever you go to a college as a junior most by a fresher, you get ragged. because of false attachment to oneself. I am senior, 1 year old now. I am in second year MBBS. His first year freshie. So he has to be right. So I was right. Everything is false. Please understand. Today if I look back in 1981, I was first MBBS student. What is the relevance now? It's 30 years back. 33 years back. Who's senior, who's junior, who's 1 year senior to me, who cares? Now maybe if they look at me, they'll get threatened. They'll tremble in front of me. So times change, na, ultimately. वो दीवार में कैसे बोलता अमिताभ बच्चन, वो फेंके हुए पैसे उठाता नहीं मैं, तो वो दूसरा का वो आदमी क्या बोलता है, इसको पैसे उठा के दे दो, ये लंबी रेस का घोड़ा है. What does that mean? Today is a boot polish wala. Tomorrow he will rule over you. Today he is distributing chai in the train. Tomorrow he will become prime minister of the country. Things are so uncertain here. Things are so uncertain. 10 years prime minister is now Mr. Nobody. Things are so uncertain here. So why should be one attached to the situation that is so temporary? I may feel, oh, look at my hair. It's not become grey yet. I'm so proud of it. But in 2-3 years, it'll become grey. It's not going to become permanently black, you know. It may have remained a little longer black than expected. But is it going to remain permanently black? Because I'm myself, you know, I'm so great. It's not like that. So a true devotee of the Lord, he understands that everything is temporary. What is there to feel proud of? Today you are attached to your wealth, tomorrow you have to be attached to your poverty. Poverty also will come. So many examples are there. So in happiness and sorrow, in wealth and poverty, the true devotee of the Lord will remain attached to the Lord only, always. The permanent thing, the true thing, the real thing, he will remain attached to that person. And all these fights and all these quarrels and all this enmity and revenge, all those things because of false ego. I'm so much enemical to you, like anything. But when I die, where's the enmity? Where am I, first of all? To do the enmity and to keep the enmity. You can't continue the enmity with my children. But what do they have to do with you? You had enmity with me, I am gone. Enmity should be finished. But our attachment is so much that you will say, these are the sons of my enemy. So I also will ruin them. I'll ruin the full dynasty, full family I'll ruin. This is how the people think. They are so captured by the false identification. So you must have asked this question to me because you must be the victim of somebody's false ego. Somebody must be showing ego to you and you are must be the affected party. But it's quite possible that somebody also must be victim of your ego. You know, if somebody is harassing you for his higher position and higher order ego he has, maybe he is your elder brother-in-law, and your brother, husband is younger than him and he is harassing you, or somebody may be, whatever, anything, all kinds, he may be richer than you, or you are not as rich as him, he has Mercedes car and you have a Maruti car, and he is trying to show you how third class you are and how great I am. But at the same time, somebody else may be suffering from you, from your ego. So the game goes on like this. Because I am proud of my thing, you are proud of your things, the beggar is proud of his things, and Prime Minister is proud of his things, and Bush is President of America is proud of his things, and everybody is showing his position to everybody else and wasting their time. And one fine day, a time becomes so powerful on you, he captures you and takes you away. Finished. The remaining ones start taking over the charge and start fighting. And one day time will take them also. And the remaining ones will take the charge and start fighting again. The game goes on. As long as the material world remains and you are in the material world, all these things go on. The wisdom is to understand that all of these are temporary. Nothing remains constant here. Your position, your power, your strength, your beauty, your money, your influence, the weather around you, nothing remains constant. Everything changes. So we being permanent, we being eternal, we also should be attached to the eternal and the permanent. And when the eternal meets the eternal, then you are free from all these effects of things around you. Like that. So you will be saved from the effect of others' false ego, provided you give up your false ego. And suppose I am a medical student and I was ragged. So my natural tendency is to rag the others who become juniors after me. But suppose you change suddenly and you feel I was ragged, but now I will protect this new student. I will not let him get ragged the way I was ragged. So what are you doing? You are changing the culture. The culture was to rag everybody who comes new. Now you yourself have taken decision that I will not rag. I will help him and protect him. So that person who has received your kindness, when he will get his junior next year, he will say, no, I will not let him get ragged. I will protect him. From my so-called friends who are ragging them, I will protect him from those friends. And that is what we are here for. That's what Prabhupada did. Everybody was thinking they are Americans, they are Indians, hippies, this, that. So Prabhupada changed the culture and gave them connection to the eternal. As soon as they got connected to eternal, they became happy. And when they became happy, they didn't keep quiet. They wanted others to become happy. So I became happy. Suddenly I was miserable and I became happy. So they wanted others to become happy. So they became missionary. They started distributing that to everybody. That's why there is Bhaktivedanta Hospital and everything is now happening, because sometime he changed the culture of some locality, somewhere. And people turned spiritual. They attached themselves to the eternal Supreme Lord in love and devotion. They became happy. So here also, new and new employees are joining, new students are joining. And if you have understood the principle, then we need to connect them to the Supreme Lord by my loving attitude and loving care. I want to connect them to the Lord. Then there is, every year you have good work. Every year you have 20, 30, 30 and 20. 50 souls are going to enter your life every year. And if you think that, oh, they are God's children and they are coming under our care, so along with my teaching, nursing, education, let me connect them to eternal. Eternal life, eternal personality. So would it be wonderful? You will be so happy like a mother, they'll be so happy like children. They'll look forward to meeting you, you'll look forward to meeting them. There is no frustration. These children are like headache only. They will not feel like that. You will feel this. If my daughter was there in the same college, same school, and my daughter comes in this school only, where I am working as teacher, she comes as student, how will I take care of her? And how will I take care of all, tell all the teachers, ki she is my daughter, huh? Please take care of her. Please take care of her. If patient comes, who is your mother? He will tell all the nurses, my mother is getting admitted, huh? Please take care of her. If like that you change first, will there be any ego manifested anywhere? The higher you are, you feel more power I have got. So let me use that all to help the subordinates, to take care of them, not to subdue them, not to harass them, not to rag them. So all that, if you have not liked something in life, somebody's ego harassing you, somebody's ego affecting you, then you should decide yourself that this kind of ego has troubled me. I will never trouble anybody by such kind of ego. Not that generally what people do, I have been suffering, so I will make you also suffer. Anybody else, my mother-in-law ragged me, so when I will become mother-in-law, I will rag my daughter-in-law. Whatever you receive, you give. But when you get good association in between, you get good company in between, suppose, then you change your culture. You break the routine. Instead of you received some ragging, but you gave love in place of that. So you change the culture. That is your credit. And that should be our goal. We shouldn't become routine and normal, you know, and ordinary. So if your mother-in-law ragged you, you ragged your daughter-in-law. So what, nothing great. It's all ordinary. Your mother-in-law ragged you. But you never did that. You were very kind to your daughter-in-law. What was your question? What is your question? What did you ask? The whole Brahmanda is called Martyaloka. But specifically this earth is called Martyaloka, abode of death. Because there only enjoyment is there upstairs. You have bhoga sharir. Bhoga sharir means body of enjoyment only. And you enjoy sense gratification, women, food, environment, everything. You just beautiful to see, beautiful things to hear, dance, art, everything you enjoy there. And the pains are not so much. Birth and old age is death there. But this place is lot of suffering and little happiness. And pain is prominent than pleasure. In fact, if you ask technically, all the planets are Martyaloka only. Prithviloka only, no? Everywhere death is prominent. Everybody dies there. In every single place. Suffering is larger than enjoyment here. And it's true for everybody. For Prime Minister, for President of India, for richest man in the India or the poorest man in India. Suffering is a prominent feature. Variety of sufferings. Different types of suffering for different type of people. Navinde. Rebirth is soon after death or any time. It is all depends on your stock of karma before death. What is your stock of karma? If you have been doing devotion to God all throughout your life, majority of your activity is devotional, then you may get immediately next human birth to continue where you are left, to carry on from where you left last life. God will immediately favor you to take up the next step and go ahead. But if our life is filled with so many sinful activities and so many bad things, you know, variety of sinful activities, then what will happen? Some of them will qualify you to take birth in hell for certain sufferings. Some of the activities will qualify you to take birth as an insect. Some of the activities will qualify you to take birth in the heavens to enjoy. So depending on the stock of activities and the variety of activities you have done, you deserve the different kind of things. And suppose somebody dies and he dies because of suicide, or somebody murders, somebody accidentally dies, then he will hang, or he or she will hang, and immediate next birth is not possible only. Because the time allocated to that soul in that particular body is not yet over. It is abruptly ended, prematurely. Suppose somebody has got 70 years of life and somebody dies in 54 years of age, then 16 years he will remain in hanging position. That is only soul and man, buddhi, ahankar, soul and mind, intelligence and false ego, subtle body. Gross body will not be given. Gross body is like this. This is what gross body is. This gross body will not be awarded to enjoy or suffer. When that period is over, then the next consideration will take place. It's like that. What do you do with your child? You give him 100 rupees for 1 week, for example. And he comes back next day, mama, 100 rupees over. So what do you say? Next Monday. Is that true? You will not give him next 100 rupees immediately. He said, I gave you for 1 week. You have to see how to spend for 1 week. Similarly, I gave life to you for 70 days and you finished it in 54 years. So, no room for you. Till suicide or accident, sometime murder, homicide happens, no? Everything is connected with karma and it can't be understood by people like us. Even Lord says in scriptures, that no one should try to get into the complexities of the karma. If you don't know today, today's pain in the abdomen is because of which karma? We don't know that. Today's headache at 5 p.m. in the evening is coming because of which karma in the past? We don't know. And neither we should find out also. We should only do one thing. Surrender to God. And change your lifestyle. Change the culture of your soul. From enjoyment to devotion to God.
So what about this marsigling, sir?
It is, marsigling is not allowed actually. Marsigling matlab what? Marsigling matlab what? That means God has destined you to live in this body in such kind of sufferings for 71 years. And you feel at 68 ki, what is the use of continuing life? Let's withdraw everything and let him die. So that soul will have to come back for 3 years again in some body to make the sufferings. He'll not be excused because you are so merciful. So by being so-called merciful, you are actually interfering arrogantly in the laws of God. You think you are so kind and so merciful and so this and so compassionate and you can't even tolerate suffering of that soul. So just let him die, na? Give him insulin injection IV and let him die. And you think you are freeing him from all the sufferings. But if you have true knowledge, you'll understand, I am no one to finish sufferings. Only he has power to finish sufferings. You only have power to surrender, that's all you can do. To abbreviate, to finish your sufferings or not, it is his job. And he has something still remaining for the benefit of the soul. In the olden days, you know, when somebody murders somebody, the king would hang that person. Or whatever ways of death, for example, in the Maharashtrian times, Shivaji Maharaj, they would put him in front of the cannonball and blow him off. Or throw him from the mountain top. Whatever ways of poison. Or prick him with a poison in the top of the knife. And then he will die. Because he has murdered somebody. Why is that? Because the law of Lord says, if somebody is murdered, he has to suffer death only in the return of that. Otherwise, he will suffer in the hell much more than what he would suffer by dying now. So, punishing the murderer by giving him death is mercy on him. Provided you know the law of God. You can't act whimsically because you think like this. You just follow by the norms given by the Lord. In this case of mercy killing, you feel, he's suffering. Let me just end his life because he'll suffer more if I allow him to live more. But the Lord has perfect plan. When his time ends, all the suffering also ends. So we are nobody to give life or take away life. Only that person who gives life has the right to take life. And there is only one person, that is Supreme God. No one else. Again, reaction of karma, na, some past karma. Yes, somebody is born with trisomy 21, somebody is born with Down syndrome, somebody is born with no legs only, somebody is anencephaly. Who decides that? And what decides that? Tell me. According to your observation, what a sin the child has done? Why God is so cruel? Why this child is beautifully born in an Arabic beautiful family, in Western family? And why this child is born in a dark color, some language speaking, abruptive, and no head and no like this one eye, like this squintish? Well, who decides that? You only decide that by your karma. Today you are deciding your next body. Right now, by your activities now, you are deciding your next body. That's why we have to watch our actions now, watch our thought now, because it's going to become action tomorrow and we are going to be implicated into the reactions of today's action and it will decide your next body. If today you are acting like a elephant, for example, eating, you want to eat and eat, you want to just all time only eating, you are thinking, dreaming of only eating, you are already making your elephant body of next life. Your body of elephant is under making. Order de chuka hai uska. Today's actions are proving that I will want to eat only. If today you are thinking ki, this human body, you know, simply enjoy sex day and night, you know, just all kinds of women, all kinds of men which must enjoy. Human life is only rarely available. No other animal can enjoy like human body. And you just think of sex and sex and sex, then your pig body is already under making. Pigeon body already under making. Whatever suits, karma suits. So that body, you can enjoy sex unlimitedly. No human being can enjoy so much. A pig can enjoy. I just read that a pig can enjoy orgasm for 30 minutes in one relationship. And human being can never go beyond 2 minutes or 1 minute or 30 seconds. Who knows? So I read some WhatsApp messages from my so-called educated doctor friends of my college. And that to a girl, a lady, who is now 50-year-old. She's saying, oh, I wish I was a pig. Oh, I wish I was a pig. I can't forget the 30 minutes. I can't forget the 30 minutes. She's writing into the WhatsApp, you know. I just read in some scientific journal that the pigs can enjoy orgasm, the climax, for 30 minutes. So I was sure this girl will become a she pig next life, 100%, because she wants it so much. Instead of being happy with 30 seconds of human life, she wants to get 30 minutes of pig life. So God will fulfill her desire. He's so much hell-bent upon that kind of happiness. This body is not meant to you to give that kind of happiness to you. This body is meant to you to connect with God. So instead of utilizing this body in connecting with God, she's thinking of enjoying 30 minutes of orgasm. So what will God do? Fulfill her desire. You want to eat and eat and eat flesh this way, that flesh, and everything on earth which comes across you, you want to eat that. You want to try pig, you want to try pigeon, you want to try rabbit, you want to try chicken, you want to try Indian chicken, you want to try American chicken, you want to try everything on earth, you know, just go on eating flesh. The Lord will say, okay, there's a big menu for you. You can become tiger, you can become lion, you can become fox, you can become so many things. You can become dog, you can become Alsatian, you can become this, that. Because so much desire to eat flesh is there, no? Instead of being human being and, you know, so much of taklif to digest that food in the human body which is not meant for digesting that food, he said, why so much trouble? Become an animal, na? And that body will be so equipped for you to digest meat raw only. No need. Your teeth will be equipped for you accordingly. Your acidity will be accordingly adjusted. Your stomach, intestine will be all fit for that particular thing with no trouble. Raw you can eat and digest. No cooking also required. No spicing required. So it's not that key when I'm eating mutton and chicken, so nice it is, so wonderful. No. You are deciding your next body by doing that right now. And I'm enjoying this. I'm telling God, I want to enjoy this continuously also. Yes, I have. That is why we have to be always cautious. Things that may give you pleasure today may also drag you down to hell tomorrow. Everything that makes you feel nice may not be nice for you. Today if you take a puff now of brown sugar, you will feel so nice, believe me. You will be on top of the earth for next 18 hours. You will forget all your miseries. Your mother harassing you, your husband harassing you, everything you will forget, all financial difficulty. 18 hours will be in sky, flying, like anything. All miseries will be mitigated. But soon we will know that you are hooked to that drug. I guarantee you, if all of us now, right now, take one peg of whiskey, all of you will feel so happy and so nice, and you will start talking so bindas, and you will be so really, you know, no hesitation, no inhibitions. You'll be so, I will just start playing something, you start dancing immediately, all ladies will start dancing, you know, without any hesitation, and you will feel oh, those 2 hours were so much full of happiness. But soon you will be hooked and your whole family will ruin because of your addiction. Similarly, I'm telling you, if a married man who is married to a beautiful lady for 10 years, and he has sufficiently enjoyed with her and everything, and at that 11th year, suppose he finds another beautiful woman who is much younger than his wife, and she offers him relation, and he goes, he enjoys such thrill at 11th year of his life, such thrill going out of his marital relationship and enjoying. But soon he will find himself in hell because of adultery. Or maybe that is the next life. In this life, soon he will land himself in AIDS or some syphilis. Because beautiful lady outside may be having gonorrhea inside. We don't know. This is what happens, no? And I go out on tour somewhere and I feel, come across a beautiful lady, some officer or something, and you know, I land up in a relationship. I never think, hey, did I do HIV test for her? Or did I do this for her? Did I get examined? No, in the spur of emotions, I fall. And then when I come home, I find I'm HIV positive. And then I come to know, oh, she was a prostitute. She just disguised and she just fooled me. But when I enjoyed with her, I will have great pleasures. Unbelievable pleasures. But at what cost? This is how the life is. So what the wise man does? Wise man also gets tempted. He doesn't feel that wise man doesn't get tempted. He also gets tempted. But his knowledge prevails over his temptation. His knowledge and his intelligence prevents him from falling down for so-called temporary illusory pleasure. And he saves it. When you go to a Shivaji Park on the seashore, the panipuri is so attractive and so tasty. But a wise man who knows, he will say, I will eat at home because I may get diarrhea, I may get typhoid. It's not that when he will eat panipuri, he will not get happiness. He will get tremendous happiness. But he knows, I don't want to have the happiness because I don't want to be in the bed for next 8 days with diarrhea and with typhoid. So it's not like there's no happiness in this world. There is happiness. But all the happiness is, number one, an illusion, and number two, at some cost that you have to pay. And generally the cost is huge compared to the happiness that you get. थोड़ा thrilling happiness आएगा उसको, but then he'll end up in some big disease for a long time. Hundred percent. If you desire something at the moment of death, you will immediately land up in that situation. As I told her, maybe in the course of time, but your desire will lead you. If you are obsessed with some desire, then the desire will prevail even in that pain. If you are dying, you will not say, oh my grandma, oh my daughter, oh my newly born baby, who will look after her? Something like that. Oh my house, who will look after the house now? I just entered the house after 50 years of hard work and loan payment. I just entered and did Grah Pravesh and I am dying now. Will these children look after this house? They will become dog in the house to guard the house. And take care of the house. There is pain, no doubt, but desires also prevail. Desires actually take, as you asked question, desires actually will take you to the next destination. Today what is happening? Just look at today's life. You want to wear a Kanjivaram sari, but you are working now, you don't have holidays. As soon as you get holidays, you plan with Bhadra Priya. Where do you get Panjivaram sari? And then she takes you to a shop which she knows, which she bought before sari from. So what is dragging you from Pividoshi hospital to that shop is your desire to wear Kanjivaram sari. Simple. Somebody told you that there is a fantastic jalebi available in Churchgate. When you go to that side, now I will take you to that shop. And because of that, you develop a desire to eat that typical jalebi which papers are giving news and which friends are telling you also. And now it is busy day for you. Exams are going on, audit is going on, this, that. Then holiday comes and you are on leave, your official holiday. And first thing you will meet your friend and then friend will take you to that shop. So what has taken you from now to then to that shop is your desire to eat jalebi. It's like that. So it's happening now also. What to speak of after death? Now also it is happening. It's like that. What happens? Desires remain. The soul never becomes unconscious. The body becomes unconscious. There is nothing like soul becoming unconscious. Soul is always active. It is covered by a conscious or unconscious body. So soul can express or cannot express, depending on the consciousness or unconscious the body. Now I am conscious, so I am expressing myself. I am speaking, I am laughing, I am smiling, I am making actions. Because my body is conscious now. If you become unconscious, still I may have some desire to express to you. But I may not be able to express to you because the vehicle is now defective. Is at fault now. Why we do end of life care? Even though patient is unconscious, with the faith and knowledge that soul is always active and alive. It is never unconscious. The soul will receive a message. Although the body will not show me it's receiving message or not, but soul will receive a message. That's why we give end of life care. So be careful right now. When good times are there, we should learn to desire in a perfect way. In service to God. So that when crisis comes, you already have practiced what to desire. What to desire, you already practiced. So that time also you can desire. Suddenly, suppose Mrs. Redkar is now put in the border of India-Pakistan and asked to be in the war. You don't even know what gun looks like. You don't even know how to carry so much of heavy loads of bullets and all this thing on the body and still walk the mountain and carry the big gun of, machine gun of so much of weight. So will you be able to fight there? Will you be able to lift any gun and shoot? Maybe you'll shoot yourself only by mistake by holding the gun upright, upside down. Who knows? So if you are to be put there, they will recruit you and first train you. What you are supposed to do there? And when they are convinced that you are trained, then they will post you there. And then on day one also you can start shooting. So like that, train yourself now to be God conscious. So that when the war comes of death, then you will think of God only that time. So now you are not trained of thinking of God. Forget it that you will think of God at the moment of death. Death is a big crisis. Now in normal conditions of life you can't think of God, then what to speak of in great difficulty of life and death, fight. You are thinking of God is this unlikely, not possible. I said. Okay? Any other question is there? Hare Krishna. I only know one thing, that you only have today with you. And you only have now with you. You don't have then with you. You don't have yesterday with you. And in that now, if you don't choose to be God conscious, then and tomorrow, you will never be God conscious. You have to be God conscious now. Then you can hope yourself to be God conscious then and tomorrow. When tomorrow will become today and today will become now, you can hope to become God conscious if you are now God conscious. You can't postpone it to tomorrow, that tomorrow I will become God conscious. Tomorrow you will never become God conscious. If you are not now God conscious, you will not become God conscious ever tomorrow. No, I will become God conscious when I will die. At that moment I will be God conscious. It is never possible unless you are now. What will be the proof that you will be tomorrow God conscious unless you are God conscious today and now? So don't take it lightly. Somebody has won the election, somebody has become Union Cabinet Minister only few days ago and going to his hometown for getting felicitated by thousands of men and a lot of preparations are going on and finished. Where is the dream? Where is the victory? Where is the happiness? Where is the success? And don't think that will not happen to you and me. Oh, it is only for him, he must be having a set of karmas, so he may be implicated in the reaction of his karmas, so it may be true for only him. Prabhupada, when he became old, na, in Vrindavan, he was in last stage, his bone and skin only. He hardly weighed 30 kilos or 25 kilos maybe. So thin he was, so old, so fragile he was. And his disciples would serve him in that condition. You know, they would lift his eyelids to show him some guest. Prabhupada, see who has come. Like that they would lift his eyelids. He was so old, he didn't have strength to even lift his eyelids also. So Prabhupada said, don't think this will not happen to you. What is happening to me? Don't think that this will not happen to you. Everybody will have to go through this stage. Nobody is excused. Nobody is exempted. Whether you become white or black or a Hindu or a Muslim or a rich or a poor, nobody will be exempted. Everybody will have to go through this transition of life. So, we itna sa samajhne ke baad mein, how can we be gafil? Gafil means, kya bolte hai usko?
Careless.
How can we be like that? In ignorance. We can't be, you can't afford to. You have to be God conscious, because in next step you will be alive or not, you don't know. He was so happy in life, he was so happy that finally, after so many years, it's our government and I am the cabinet minister, and soon the elections are going to come in Maharashtra state. Again, I am going to win there, I am going to be victorious, and I have so many plans, I will do so many things. But death comes in this way only, most unnoticed, as sure as death, still as uncertain as death also. Nobody can say when. Oh, this is not the time. My children are small. How will I die now? Why? I have to do my duties and grow my children up. And then I will be ready for death. Who cares, you know, what you desire and what you think? Death will be always coming at his own accord and capturing us. So, in life or death, we need to be God conscious. सुखे दुखे भूले ना को वदने हरि नाम करो रे. So please do not forget the Lord in happiness and sorrow, life or death. जीवाने मराने गति आर नाही मो. In life or death, I have nobody except you, my Lord. Jivane morane gati ara nahi mor. Nobody is mine except you, my Lord. Radha Krishna pranamo yugala kisho. Oh, Radha and Krishna, you are the only treasure of my life. Life or death, I have no one but you. You have to cultivate this mood for the Lord. Then your life will be successful. Thank you very much.